Custom Car Care.
All right, good morning and welcome. You've got Sarah and Dustin, A1 Custom Car Care. Tis the season of change. Miss Sarah, how are you enjoying spring so far?
It's not too bad. I've noticed here lately I've got a lot of that yellow pollen that's starting to build up on my car, so it needs to go to the car wash.
Yeah, everybody, especially if you got like a darker colored car, it shows up like crazy.
And I have a couple of farm cats, too, so you can see their little paw prints. And I'm like, what? Get off my car, guys.
No kidding.
Yeah.
They just can't help themselves.
I know. Well, hey, if you guys are out there in radio land, we typically always mention our text line at the end of the program, but I do want to start mentioning it at the beginning, too. If you are a person, maybe you're a DIYer that has questions, or maybe you have something that is going wrong with your vehicle and you want to get kind of an idea of what maybe it could be, or maybe you're even looking at buying or selling and you're just kind of curious what to look for. These are all great questions that Dustin has the answer to sometimes.
I'll say sometimes. I try not to get stumped, but if I do and I don't know, I'll flat tell you. Hey,
that's right.
I'll get back to you on that.
So if you're out there and you have a question or a comment, feel free to text our text line. That phone number is 417-447-5743. Once again, that is 417-447-5743. And yeah, maybe you'll be featured on the show.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We always appreciate that. I honestly, in the beginning of the show, I thought that I would get a lot more like questions that people trying to trip us up. You know, back in the day, I worked at Sonic. Did you ever do any fast food things,
I worked
Sarah?
At Golden Corral.
Oh.
So not really, but kind of same
pretty
industry.
Close,
yeah, food industry.
Sure. One of the jokes back then when you had a new hire, and I don't remember if they played this on me, but I remember them playing on others. You know, they have the regular size hot dog and then they have the foot long at Sonic. They would send somebody out to like the supply shed to get the hot dog stretcher, you know, and they were new people.
Right.
And so it was just like this inside joke, and it's a corny, stupid joke, but a prank to play on somebody. But with the show, I always thought that people would call and want, you know, to know about a radiator cap for a Volkswagen Rabbit, which was air-cooled, so there was no coolant, or spark plugs for a diesel, you know, or blinker fluid, or whatever the million, like, gags is that are out there, muffler bearings, which, fun fact, the later model vehicles, there actually are bearings inside the muffler. So that has forever been a, you know, I don't want to say a gag or poking fun, but you know that, you know, oh, your muffler bearings are bad since like probably the 80s. But that is a possibility now. So I thought we would get more of that. But thankfully, it sounds like we have a lot of adult listeners and they're not trying to play tricks on me and trip me up. Now, that's not to be said that some of my, you know, brothers in arms and sisters in arms out there that when I see them at training classes, they like to critique and give their two cents, which is great. I appreciate the feedback. But to the text line listeners out there, I always enjoy getting that feedback or that insight because I live, eat, and breathe this world. To me, everybody understands this kind of the way that I do. And that's just my simple mind working there. So when you guys have questions or thoughts or even insights, I mean, there's times you guys will bring something up that gets it onto our radar, and then we can look into it and either utilize it or explore it more or whatever. So we appreciate that interaction with the show, as well as when I see you folks in the shop or at the gas station. I mean, that's always cool where they're like, hey, you know, we listen. And I appreciate that a bunch, that it's not just my mom and my sister listening to Sarah's show. Definitely a big appreciation for that.
So today we're talking about some things that you've seen in the shop here lately.
Yeah. So, we have talked about EV vehicles for a long time, the legislation and some of that still rolling out to the aftermarket world. But Miss Sarah, you know Darren pretty well, don't you?
I do.
He usually is the one taking care of a lot of your and Ryan's vehicles, which is, you know, we appreciate that very much. Darren is probably one of the most talented diagnosticians that I have ever had the chance to work with. And so we're getting into some different market areas, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. We've got two different. Darren's got one. Harland is another very veteran lead tech for us. We have two Priuses in the shop right now, which is, you know, Priuses are pretty common out there, and they're starting to get some age, so we're starting to see and service them more. And that's not just a vehicle that you're going to find just any technician that's going to weigh in and take care of that. So Darren's doing a hybrid battery replacement and a lot of suspension work on his Prius, putting quite a big investment into this Prius. It would border on the repower kind of concept that we talk about here on the show. And that's going really well. The customer, and it's an older one, I think it had 200,000 or 300,000 miles on this Prius. He's putting a pretty big investment in it. And as we were having that discussion, you know, the customer's words were, yeah, this is a pretty good amount of money. We're investing in this, but it wouldn't even hardly cover the taxes if I had to go buy a new one. And I thought that was really, you know, I'm not like 100 years old. I'm getting ready to be in my early 40s here pretty quick. But I thought that was pretty insightful of him. I complain about taxes all the time, like I'm 100 years old and I just can't stand it. It's not that I don't want to pay my part. I do. It's that I am frustrated with their ability to use it in a advantageous manner, in my opinion. But that's maybe another show topic. I just thought that it was very interesting to hear from a gentleman that had a very similar mindset that's like, hey, yeah, I could go buy a new one for probably $50,000, I would assume they're in that ballpark. And by the time you paid tax on that, if you lived in the rural county, it's roughly 10% here in this part of the country, he'd have $5,000 out of pocket. And if he lived in town, he'd probably be closer to $6,000 or $7,000 out of pocket just in taxes. So I get it. I want good roads. I want good bridges. I want good schools, but I want them to utilize the money better than what they're doing now. So overpaying in taxes just doesn't make any sense to me until we get some folks in there that can utilize it. And not that we don't. I've been fairly happy with our local government or our state government. It's mainly the federal side of things that really frustrates the tar out of me at the moment. But that's, like I said, a different rabbit hole. So the second one, Harlan's looking at it for us. I'm sure you're familiar mm-hmm. with Harlan, Sarah. I'm not sure exactly what happened. They had an extreme overheat a few thousand miles back, and then it actually has an engine failure on it. So that'll more than likely be an engine replacement or a repower. We do quite a few of those with people that have that similar concept or that like-minded that, hey, you know, I own what I've got. I know what it is. Yeah, it's going to take me an investment to get into it. But, you know, I'd rather keep what I've got going and own outright then dive into some debt. I did have some family stop by this weekend. They stopped by yesterday, I think, or earlier this week. And they actually bought a brand new Toyota RAV4.
Oh, yeah. How did they like it?
They love it. And I could not be more excited. You know, I talk about repower and keeping things on the road a lot. But sometimes life changes. And their life had changed. Their family is growing a little bit. So I'm so excited about that. They're a great couple, and they are needing, they actually had a Chevy Cruze was their previous vehicle.
I was going to ask if that was the Chevy Cruze family.
It is the Chevy Cruze family, and we have been able to keep that going. I'm pretty sure she told me she's had it 8 years,
nice.
180 or 90,000 miles, which is pretty good for a Cruze. But that wasn't without a lot of commitment and love on their part. And a fair amount of magic on my part to keep the vehicle running for them, which we have done. And it got her through college. So she just graduated college as well. I believe her degree is in accounting. So super cool there. But it was really awesome to see them. So it's not all gloom and doom. I'm always not anti-buy new cars. This was a lifestyle change for them. And I think this was a great fit. And to see them pick a good vehicle, Toyota, you really can't go wrong with Toyota, in my opinion. RAV4 has been a great vehicle for years and years, and they got some bells and whistles, but not a crazy amount that I'm, you know, concerned, as well as they did buy the extended warranty. So if something does happen, you know, I'm sure Toyota will be the first line of defense until it's out of warranty, and then A1 Custom will be taking care of it from there. As you have experienced, there we go, all the words, the best words. We have an innate ability, and our service advisors are trained to fight And I mean fight with these extended warranty companies to get them paid for.
So I was in the shop, it was a couple weeks ago, my car didn't want to start for some reason.
I remember that.
And we couldn't figure it out. It was like a weird fluke thing. And I had like multiple people look at it and it didn't do it again for the rest of the day. I haven't had any issues with it since.
Wow.
I know. So it's a little scary.
Yeah.
But the good thing is I was talking to who was I talking to over there? Annie, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we were actually talking about how I apparently have one of the best extended warranty companies out there. It's never a problem to call them.
That's great.
Yeah. So I wish I could remember off the top of my head what my extended warranty company is. But they said, oh, whenever you brought your extended warranty paperwork in here, we breathed a sigh of relief because we knew you were in good hands.
That's so good to hear. Yeah, we definitely need to get that out there to the people so they can know. Not all of them are created equal. Some of them are unbelievably frugal would probably be a very easy way to say that they're cheap and they're protecting their best interest and not yours. So we're going to step into a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some new technology that A1 Custom is able to take care of. We'll be right back after this.
Your complete car care solution, A1 Custom Car Care.
All right. Welcome back, Sarah and Dustin, A1 Custom Car Care. So if I told you that we were an ADOS calibration center, Sarah, what would that mean to you?
Absolutely nothing. Please explain.
So ADOS stands for Advanced Driver Assist System.
Okay.
And that's the cool stuff. I think your car probably has it, but the blind spot monitoring where like it shows like the little amber colored light or the adaptive cruise, adaptive braking. Even your backup radar, you know, that beeps and shows you that, hey, you're going to crash if you don't change your ways.
So I have some of that, but not all of it.
So there is 0 from 6 different levels of ADOS, is the way I understand it. Even a Tesla is only a 3.
So what's a 6?
That would be the fully autonomous, like you sit in the back seat and take a nap.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. I'm right there with you. But the reason A1 Custom Car Care is getting into this, A, is because we stay on our training and the cutting edge of the industry, which I really would not be a part of a company that didn't do that. I actually have left and quit companies because they wouldn't or couldn't, as well as we can't continue to provide normal service without being able to calibrate this. So what does this mean to everybody out there listening? If you get a windshield put in and you have a certain ADOS, you have to have it calibrated. If you get an alignment done, you, regardless of whether we're doing anything or not, before we do ADOS calibration, we have to set the alignment. If you have an alignment done, you have to reset the calibration. If you have to have certain body panels removed for service, like a lot of times we have to pull bumpers, front bumpers or rear bumpers off for AC repair, radiator repair, headlights sometimes, you have to have a calibration.
So it makes sense for the panels and for the alignment, but why the windshield?
So on a lot of them, there's actually a camera, and I don't know if you've noticed, but you know they have the black area at the top of the windshield?
Yeah.
Some of these new cars have like a triangular-shaped cutout, and they actually have a forward-facing camera that is reading the road ahead of you. And if you have a windshield put in, A, it has to be of good, equal, or better quality than the factory one. There has for years, and I know the windshield industry very well. My dad, when he got out of auto body, went into doing mobile windshield repair. And I was obviously his free labor for that, which was good. It was kind of like an unpaid apprenticeship, I guess, is how I should look at that. Instead of just, hey, boy, you come with me and you're going to work today. Forget sitting at home playing video games. But I'm very thankful for that. I tongue-in-cheek poke fun at it a little bit, but that's really what accelerated me into this industry as quickly as I was able to become proficient at it. But point being, they imported a lot of Chinese glass back then, and it was very subpar, very, very subpar. Now, that's probably getting less and less because of the supply chain blah, blah, blah that's going on out there. Even the height that you set the windshield when you put the urethane in there, if you don't set the windshield at the correct height or there's some kind of a quality control problem, you will not be able to calibrate the ADAS system, Advanced Driver Assist System. So,
okay, that makes sense.
Big deals going on. Me and two other of my techs, Darren being one of them, Cody being the other one, went and spent a full 8 hours being trained on the equipment. We've also had many standard classes that we've traveled to do for ADAS training as well, so we're capable of doing it. There are some folks out there that are attempting to do it, and their calibrations, in my experience, have not been stellar, which is actually the reason we got into doing it, is I couldn't really trust the referrals of the companies that were doing it. That's honestly why A1 Custom years ago got into alignments, is I was sublending out our alignment work, and I could not get a good alignment. I was so frustrated. There are a couple of good alignment guys in town, but they're far and few in between. So that's why we got into alignments years ago. I run into the same issue with ADAS, and that's why we're getting into doing ADAS. So if you're going to, you know, your normal preferred service center, that's great. Hopefully they're doing a good job. But if they do an alignment for you and they don't bring up, if you're driving probably a 2018 or newer, maybe even back to 2016 on certain models, and they're not discussing the ADAS. So if you have the radar system that beeps when you back up, if you have the lane departure, adaptive cruise, blind spot monitoring, driver assist systems, you know whether you have ADAS or not. Those are the most common ones out there, and they're not recalibrating them. Sarah, what do you think happens if you had to take a guess if the calibration was wrong?
I would assume that it probably couldn't detect people as they're passing you, or if you have one of those things that does the braking, maybe it misjudges how far you are away from an item. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, you're right on the money. I've actually got one of my technicians, his girlfriend works for a very large insurance company, one that everybody would know their name. I don't want to put it out there because she didn't say it was okay to bring this up, but they had 3 or 4 claims running where the ADAS, something had happened to it. And with electronic steering, most of these are, you know, the car is thinking about how you're steering the car. They had some property damage. I don't believe anybody got hurt, but one of them, it actually ran the car down one of the guardrails up on the interstate because it didn't know where center was. So significant damage on that car, obviously, and the owner was just despite himself. We had another one. It was actually a Priusin that another shop had done AC work on, and this was a couple of years back. We ended up sending it to Toyota. We didn't have the equipment that we have now. When you would start it up, if there was a car in our parking lot, any of you that have been to our sunset location know, you know, the parking's a premium there. If there were cars on left or right of it, the moment you started it up, it would turn the wheel all the way to the left or all the way to the right before you even moved. We ended up having to move all the cars around it in order to get it backed out of the spot. Otherwise, it would have hit another car. And got it to Toyota, and they were able to get it calibrated because another shop didn't know that, hey, we need to have the ability to take care of this. And when they pulled the bumper off to put a condenser in it, it messed up the calibration.
Have you ever drove one of those vehicles for a long extended time with the lane assist?
Yep.
You know, it is kind of scary because I'm in a vehicle right now that has that lane assist, and I've never had it before.
Yeah.
So I live on a couple of curvy roads, so it freaks out, and it will, like, try to move the wheel, and I'm like, I don't know if I like this or not.
Yeah.
I know there's a way to turn it off, but I haven't figured it out yet.
You know, when that very first came out, I have driven several, but there was a salesman at one of the local Chevy dealers, and he said he needed to deliver that, if I remember right, to Joplin. He was able to drive 73 miles without touching the wheel on I-44.
Isn't that crazy?
That is insane to me. Now, is it cool? Yeah. Am I okay with, like, you know, somebody, you know, Jesus take the wheel on this deal? I don't know about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one of those things that, like, you have to have a lot of trust that that system is going to operate without a glitch. And I don't know about you all out there, but heck, half the time my phone has a freak out. And I can't get it to do what I need it to do because it's hot or it's cold or you've been using it too longer, et cetera, et cetera. And so I don't know that I'm crazy about it. What I am certain about is that if we are going to do the calibrations, we are going to do the service, we're going to do it right and have the right equipment, which is what we did at the end of last year. We made a significant investment into the new equipment, and we really made sure that we were kind of on the tip of the spear, if you will. Now, the dealerships have not had any choice to have this or not. When you're, the way I understand, or the way I remember, is my dad was a dealer tech as a child. When tools came out, they just shipped you the tools at the dealership and you got an invoice for them. You didn't have a choice whether you were going to get this equipment or you weren't. And, you know, that has been going on for a long time in the dealer world. Now, the dealer world, a lot of theirs are brand specific. So if I'm a GM guy, I have GM calibration equipment, and that's what I'm trained on. I'm going to, you know how to do that. But if I get a Ford or a Toyota or a Honda in there or a Subaru, then I'm going to struggle. And some techs, and I know there are some great dealer techs out there. There's a dealer tech at the local Dodge dealer. The guy is amazing. And I wish I would have had the opportunity, and I missed the opportunity to work with him when I was younger. But man, that guy is the bee's knees at our Chrysler dealer, and we're very lucky to have a tech of that level here. I actually have a former coworker that works there now, and she is doing such a good job over there. And he is a big reason, you know, as far as like when you run into the weird stuff, he's the guy, you know, and that's a big deal. So there are dealer techs out there. I'm not picking on them by no means. Like I said, my old man was a dealer guy most of my life when I was a child. But they're not overly typically trained on all makes, all models. Now, A1 Custom, we train on everything. I send guys to factory GM training that I can get access to, factory Ford training, and then a tremendous amount of aftermarket training as well. So we have the ability to service more than just one car line. And that's really what a lot of our training has been on. When we went up there, we spent 8 hours on this particular system that we purchased. So we knew ins and outs, as well as the continued education of, you know, all makes, all models, that we are able to calibrate and service all of this. So that's kind of a big deal. We're going to step into one more break. I guess another break. We got two more. But when we come back, we have some big news about some expansion that I'd like to talk just about.
Your complete car care solution. A1 Custom Car Care.
All right. Welcome back, Sarah and Dustin. A1 Custom Car Care. Sarah, you have been in the loop.
Yeah, I have. So I'm very excited.
We have a little bit of a announcement. Some of you do know already. So we have a store at the corner of Fort and Sunshine, and I actually manage that store for the bulk of my, well, it's actually not the bulk of my career anymore. I probably manage that store with the Republic store as well, probably, if I had to guess, like 7 or 8 years between the two. So spent a lot of my time at the Fort Street store. So that's kind of like my baby. That's my home base there. But forever, we have been busting at the seams. That little four-bay store has serviced so many people in the Springfield metro area, and I'm so proud of that. Thank you all for allowing us to do that. But we have been busting at the seams for years now. We remodeled that, I guess would be the way to say it, probably about maybe 10 or 11 years ago. It's a beautiful store. I'm very proud to work at that store. But four bays is just really a tight, tight.
It's a little shop.
It is. It is. And, you know, Come and Go had been there for as long as I've been in Springfield. And they built, I'd be on the north east side of the road, a giant Come and Go. Everybody knows that, those new Come and Go's are crazy big, which is cool. But they abandoned the old little Come and Go and left it there. It's been vacant for I couldn't tell you how many years now. But it took a couple of years, I think, to go through the purchasing process and all that. But that is now our corner lot. And we have weathered the storm of some of the red tape that comes along with building an automotive repair shop. So very thankful for that. But we are going to be expanding and adding. That's why the construction's going on there. 7 service bays to that building. Our initial building will still stay open, so we'll have, instead of 4, we'll have 11 service bays. We are going to be doing ADOS calibrations in that new building, along with alignments and tires, something we don't offer right now, sheerly because we don't have the room. I talked about Cody a minute ago. He is one of our other veteran technicians. Him and I have worked together for, I don't know, probably over a decade at this point, or at least getting close to that. He's going to be our ADOS calibration technician, along with doing, obviously, multiple other services. But one of the biggest things that I'm most excited about is three of the bays will be heated and air conditioned.
You're going to have people fighting you for those.
And that's really kind of a reward for, you know, those technicians that are doing that more difficult work, in my opinion. But those bays will also have big double doors that open into a 30-person training facility that we will be able to do in-house service and training with live car, real-world training. Because I see the commitment that is needed to be a professional in the automotive industry. And we had better be doing everything we can to feed the next generations, the next technicians, service advisors, store managers that are coming into this field. Because if we don't, there's not going to be enough of them to go around. So what do you think about all that?
I am so excited for you guys. Now, I've seen a lot of the blueprints and just different things that you guys have talked about, and it is going to be such an improvement for little tiny shop.
So the little tiny shop's still going to be doing its thing. We're going to shift things around, obviously. We are going to do – so, Sarah, you've seen our lifts that you kind of have to drive up on.
Yes.
So with new construction, occasionally I run into a car or truck that I cannot get on the alignment rack. So we're going to be able to countersink the concrete and recess mount the lift. So that drive-on rack for my alignments and my ADOS calibration will be flush mount with the floor.
I have actually seen those before. I looked at a house when I was house hunting.
Really?
And they had one of those in their garage. Yeah, Ryan was really obsessed with it.
I don't blame him. I can't believe that's not the house you guys got.
Well, it was really close to the highway, so I'm kind of glad I didn't get it because the little one. But I thought, well, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's going to be a big, big deal. So beings we are, you know, not starting from scratch, but essentially, you know, we're going to reutilize a lot of the existing old come-and-go building that's there. It's obviously going to get a full facelift. I'll have some offices in there, the training facility.
Are you keeping some of the coolers for drinks?
The coolers are gone.
Oh, boo.
We were able to sell those, I think, on Marketplace, and a group of folks that have a business growing mushrooms came in, disassembled them, and took them, I think, north of Springfield, if I remember right, to grow mushrooms in those old coolers. I thought that was kind of a neat deal.
Yeah, that is interesting.
At least we repurposed them, I guess, or were able to get them repurposed so they didn't go in the landfill.
Yeah, I always hate that when people buy buildings and then demolish them and then rebuild a building there.
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense to me. And, you know, with the training room and the commitment to training that A1 Custom has, I'm so excited about being able to do that. I have and still do quite a bit of training that where the shoe's kind of on the other foot, where I'm instructing versus being a student. But A1 has such a depth of people that are way better than I am at different tasks, whether it's service advising, sales, managing people, you know, some of the high-end technical, or even some of the basic stuff, bringing new people into the industry. It's such a big deal. And for A1 to step up and be at the forefront and really kind of take the ownership of the quality of technicians that we have, that's a huge, huge thing. I was hired at this company almost 20 years ago because the technicians and the mechanics back then were getting old and retiring. You know, that's the reason they were looking to reinvest. And this takes us to a whole nother level where we can take some ownership of who it is that we're putting out there in the service bays, who you all are seeing when you come into the service counter, and then how our company is managed and run. So I'm very excited about
that. I'm excited. So when am I going to get the grand tour?
So we're thinking we're 6 to 9 months out from now. So we're May 20 whatever right now. April. We're April 20 whatever right now. As we roll out, I'm going to say probably early to mid-fall is when we're slated to have a grand opening.
Very exciting.
Hopefully, maybe we could do a live remote and do a show
from
the new facility and have some big giveaways and and really kind of give people some tours and let you meet the staff as well if you don't know them previously. We did that quite a few years ago when we opened our Sunset location.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think I was out there.
I'm pretty sure you were. We had probably 50 to 100 people there most of the morning. I really enjoyed it. It was awesome. A little distracting to do the show from the store, but it added a whole nother kind of depth to doing a live remote. So something I definitely am just really excited about.
Yeah, we'll see if Kyle will want to do it too.
That would be great.
Yeah. We'll make an event out of it.
Yeah, why not? I think the world of Kyle. He is, you know, whenever I'm in need of somebody that has legal precedence, I guess, or if I need somebody to own the legal side of the world, like we own automotive repair, Kyle's my guy, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So occasionally I do get those high speed driving awards, but I, you know, knock on wood here, I have been better the last couple of years. So it's one of those things.
Well, I'm very excited for you guys. I know that everyone else is probably very excited as well. And you guys deserve this.
You know, it's really been the folks that come in. You know, I've talked about this a lot. You know, we have like 2 and 3 generations that we service, that whole family and their neighbors and, you know, the people to go to church with and work with. And I really take that with a lot of pride, but with a lot of humility as well, that they choose us to come and have for almost 2 decades that I personally can be a part of. And I'm really thankful for that. We have struggles, you know, sometimes things happen, but I really feel like it's how we handle those things when they happen, as far as, you know, what's got us where we're at, and that folks have continued. You know, it's one thing to show up and get service once or twice, but it's a whole nother thing to have 3 generations of a family that we're taking care of all of them. And I take that as a huge, huge compliment as well.
Well, I am very excited. Now, we have a couple minutes before we have to go to break. So I figured I'd go over some of these recalls quick.
Definitely.
I'll just do them real quick. Okay, so Honda, they are recalling nearly 500,000 vehicles over seatbelt issues. Mm. Now, I believe that it is the passenger seatbelts that are mainly the problem, and they are just not properly restraining the seat occupants.
Oh,
and it's especially noticeable during crashes, unfortunately. So those vehicles are 2019, 2020 Acura models, 2018 and 2019 Accord and Accord Hybrid, and the 2017 to 2020 CRV, as well as the 2019 Insight and the 2018 through 2020 Odyssey models. So if you do have one of those vehicles, you will be getting a recall alert from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And also, Volkswagen, they've got a couple of recalls as well. They are recalling 143,000 Volkswagen SUVs due to an issue that could affect front passenger airbag deployments. So it looks like it is they're SUVs, but what is the... I know I probably highlighted it. Oh, here it is. Atlas models from 2018 to 2021 and the Atlas Cross Sports model from 2020. So if you have one of those, I would also be on the lookout for one of those recall alerts as well.
Those are pretty serious. Those seatbelts are designed to work with the airbag, not either or. So if you've got a seatbelt issue or airbag issue, that's definitely safety related. So please get it in there and try and get those taken care of. But Sarah and I need to step into a break. We're going to pick it up on the other side.
Your complete car care solution. A1 Custom Car Care.
All right. Welcome back, Sarah and Dustin. We've got just a little bit of time, so we're going to get right into it. Sarah, you got some heavy news over there.
I do. Fox News, just 4 in 10 U.S. adults say next vehicle may be electric, poll shows. So the article says, as the Biden administration pushes electric vehicles, only about 4 in 10 Americans say that they would at least be somewhat likely to go electric for their next cars. The poll from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research and the Energy Policy Institute at the University of Chicago showed only 8% of U.S. U.S. adults say they or someone in their household owns or leases an electric vehicle, and the same percentage said their household has a plug-in hybrid vehicle. Just 19% of that group said it is very or extremely likely that they would purchase an electric vehicle the next time they buy a car. Nearly half, or 47%, said it was not likely they would go electric, with 22% saying it was somewhat likely. Respondents cited high prices, and about three quarters said there were too few charging stations to go electric. Half said that was a major reason. Two thirds cited a performance for gasoline vehicles as a minor or major reason not to switch. About half of Republicans, or 54%, said that preference was a major reason not to buy an EV, and 29% of Democrats said the same. Saving money on gasoline was the main factor cited by those who want to buy an EV, with around three quarters of U.S. adults calling it a major or minor reason. 6 in 10 said that the high cost is a major reason they wouldn't buy electric, and around a quarter cited it as a minor reason. Just 16% said the high cost would not be a factor in rejecting an electric vehicle. The poll showed that 55% of adults under 30 and 49% of adults ages 30 to 44 said that they are at least somewhat likely to get an electric vehicle for their next purchase. Those percentages are compared with 31% of those 45 and older. Climate change is a major issue for youth around the world and was another reason why many respondents would purchase an EV, and 35% said reducing their personal impact is a major reason to do so, with 31% saying it is a minor reason. Now, I know that was a lot of numbers to go through. I'll make sure to get this article up on the website, KSGF.com. Click on the A1 Custom Car Care podcast, and that's where this will be for today's show if you're interested in reading more about it. But what do you think about that?
Well, I think I don't think there's that many people that are interested in electric vehicles.
I think that maybe if you live in a bigger city,
yeah,
typically Democrat-run city, mm-hmm, if that is the area you live, there's probably going to be a higher percentage of people who are more interested in that. And mm-hmm, I also think that not only does it go along those lines, but I also think that they are more likely to have the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So that would be another appeal. But I think that the vast majority of people, they're still unsure of them. They mm-hmm hear these stories. They scare them. Plus, there's also that there's almost like a push. You mm-hmm know what I mean? To like, you are going to get this.
I definitely know what you mean. You know, so I'm sure a lot of you out there already know that the Joseph Robinette Biden asterisk administration has been pushing this on everybody. Even the manufacturers, and Ford is pretty up in arms about it right now because they pretty much had it crammed down their throat. Now, what the administration did here recently is they repealed a lot of the tax credits on these EV vehicles.
I heard this. In fact, I know a business owner who has a fleet of vehicles. And there was, of course, an incentive by the dealership to build these.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also an incentive for those who have fleets or they make large purchases mm-hmm of vehicles at once to purchase a certain amount. And then they would get those tax credits. So, and I probably don't have all of the numbers correct, but at one point, I believe it was the beginning of the year, they were promised like $7,500, like, I think per vehicle in tax credit.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, in sometime in March or April, they said, oh, just kidding, we're not going to actually do that much.
Yeah.
And then I believe that it was either like earlier this week, I probably missed the news on it, or sometime in May where they're like, okay, we're going to give you a final number for the tax credit. So it's been kind of a mess, really.
And then they continued to go a little bit farther, which part of this I'm happy about. So it's not just all that I'm picking on the administration. They mandated whoever they were giving the tax credit to be a domestic manufacturer, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
That they had to source some of the raw materials for the batteries and the generation system here in the United States, which we don't have the infrastructure for yet. So a lot of these overseas manufacturers had been building and sourcing all these supplies and equipment because they knew this was going to be a big incentive. and they kind of pulled the rug out from under him. So there's a lot of big players in the global cabal, if you will, in the automotive world that are probably not real happy about, hey, we're going to give you a bunch of free money, and then, oh, psych, you're not getting any of it. So I'm glad that we're pushing some of that manufacturing this way. But as you know, we've talked here on the show many, many times, the technology is not quite ready yet long term. Can they make an electric vehicle work? Yes, but they're still struggling with it, as well as the materials to manufacture these generators, to manufacture these batteries, all the equipment. They're not really available in, you know, surplus, if you will. Even, you know, I pay attention to Elon Musk quite a bit. The guy's got a lot to say. He's done some amazing things. He was even interviewed in the last few weeks and said, hey, could we ever get to where it's a non-plug-in hybrid? And his answer was flat out no. We don't have the ability to do that as a non-plug-in hybrid. Now I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on here for just a second. So riddle me this here, Batman and Batgirls out there. I was on Empire Electric, and I think they're now Liberty Electric now, if I remember right, years ago, as I first got into adulthood and was paying my electric bill per kilowatt. I'm sure you all out there do a little bit of that. And you well know, this is no secret, that Empire and Liberty per kilowatt were one of the highest in the area. And so we finally moved out of that area, and we bought a much bigger, larger home. And I was, I don't want to say a little scared or skittish, but I was concerned about what that electric bill was going to be because we went to a much larger home. Now, thankfully, we transferred to a different zoned area for electric supply. And I went from about a 900-square-foot home to a significantly larger square-foot home. And my utility bill is 50% of what it was.
Isn't that wild?
So I bring all this up to say, hey, we all get on the old EV bandwagon, the electric vehicle bandwagon. We get all this stuff wired into our house. We build all this infrastructure that doesn't exist right now for charging stations. And then they hike the electric up. So now you're over a barrel. It's not like you can drive to another gas station and get a better deal on gas like you can right now, or diesel, or whatever propels your vehicle. It's whatever you're locked into where you're at home is going to be the majority of the charging. Yes, you will stop and do some charging stations like you do on gas now, but they are going to continue to have the stranglehold on us that you cannot charge your vehicle, blah, blah, blah. And if you're quote-unquote social credit score, like I said, my tinfoil hat's on, isn't good enough, maybe you pay more than I do because my social credit score is better.
Another thing that's kind of on the side of that that I think of that's a very real situation is, do you remember, and it was mostly in places like Texas and California, all of the brownouts that they were having? What if you start having those and you simply cannot charge your vehicle without losing power to your house?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Get you a gas or diesel generator to plug it in?
Yeah.
You know? They come up with all these crazy ideas, but they have no practical knowledge on how to execute them and how it affects normal people that work for a living.
Yes.
You know, the people that are coming up with this stuff, they're sitting in these stuffy offices or these luxurious offices, if you will, and they haven't had a real job sometimes ever. They've never actually had to pay bills. They've never actually had to get up early and put in some extra hours to make ends meet. They've never actually had to have an extra of whatever side hustle, whatever you want to call it, just to take care of business.
You don't think they're out there cutting wood to pay their student loan bills?
I don't. And I admire you and Ryan for doing that. I remember those times.
Thank you.
You guys didn't just sit down. You're like, hey, We got a truck. We got a pickup. We got chainsaw.
The old Ford Ranger.
I love that you were able to do that. And really, that I think is the biggest struggle. Not that I know we don't have a ton of time. With the new generation coming up is that, you know, they've had it pretty good. They've not had to fight through adversity. You know, the old saying that suffering builds character. The older I get, the more I absolutely know that's true.
Well, believe it or not, we are out of time. So if you're out there in Radio Land, you have a question or comment for us, you can reach out to us on our text line. That phone number is 417-447-4444. 5743, or you can reach out to us on social media. That is at 1041KSGF. Dustin, I hope you have a good rest of your weekend.
You as well. Be safe.
Bye.